Life Audio.
Coming up on Encouragement for You, financial authority Jeff Chenery talks about money during hard times, and Tony Cooper discusses ministering to the homeless.
Welcome to the Encouragement for You podcast, brought to you by Encouragement Communications in association with the Salem Web Network and is part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. In just a moment, your host, Don Hawkins, will introduce today's episode. First, a word from our sponsors. Over the years, inflation and other factors have created financial hardships for many of us. In our first segment, financial authority Jeff Chenery joins host Don Hawkins to talk about money during hard times.
You have a sort of a questionnaire on your website where you talk about three styles of investors, the do-it-yourselfer, the collaborator, and the delegator. Walk us through those three concepts, if you will, and help us understand where is the best place, the most biblical place to be.
Yeah, that's a great question, Don. From our perspective, there's really not necessarily a right or wrong. Do-it-yourselfer, collaborator, or delegator needs to... Choosing one of those paths is only good or bad relative to someone's personal situation.
Yeah.
We say if somebody has the time, desire, and aptitude to do their own work from an investment or financial planning perspective, then they're probably a do-it-yourselfer. The truth is not many people fall into that category. A lot of people would like to fall into that category or perceive that they do, but they often make some maybe their initial investment choices and to let them go by the wayside as opposed to giving them the due diligence that they need.
And those are the kind of people who often look for short-term gains in a long-term situation, right?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges of not having a counselor or somebody around you to help you emotionally process the volatility that we would find in the investment markets, because we intuitively and incorrectly want to do the opposite of what we should do. When things are really good, we want to buy. When the things are really bad, we want to sell.
Hmm.
Well, that causes us to buy when things are priced at a high level and sell when things are priced at a low level. So it takes some amount of fortitude to kind of wade in when things don't feel very good, just as they maybe don't right now or didn't at the beginning of April. And when things are feeling really, really good, maybe that's the time to cut back on an allocation to a certain asset class.
Hmm. Now, talk about the collaborator. What is that person typically like?
Collaborators, someone who realizes that they probably don't have the expertise or time, but don't feel like they have the resources or don't desire to pay somebody to be an ongoing counselor or an investment advisor, financial advisor for them. So they'll generally pay, in our model, pay us hourly to get some good feedback and information. They'll go and implement it, and then they'll circle back with us as they need to. You think of that person as you think of the dental model. You go to the dentist when you need to get your teeth cleaned or you have a toothache.
Right.
But generally, the dentist isn't going to be calling you, asking you to come into the office.
And you probably won't be calling him on a regular basis saying, how should I chew this food or that type thing.
Right, exactly. You go to him, the dentist, when you have needs.
Specific needs, right.
Right, but you're collaborating with them. You're brushing your teeth every day. He's cleaning them as needed.
Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to come back in just a minute to that third category, the do-it-yourselfer, the collaborator, and the delegator in terms of styles of investing. But Chandra has been waiting patiently in Rolla, Missouri. Hello, Chandra.
I just recently graduated college, and I'm having a hard time finding a job in this time, and I recently, I've been forcing myself to save money. What's a good way to invest, $1,000 somewhere where it'll grow, but at the same time, it'll be fairly accessible?
That is a very good question. I would recommend, if you've just begun the investment process and you have this $1,000, you probably go to a local bank or even better yet, a local credit union and use some type of a money market account or CD that they would be able to offer to you. This is money that is going to be the foundation of your savings program going forward. All investments that are going to give a higher potential return over time carry more risk with them. And since this is what you're getting started with, again, think of this as the foundation, you want this to be available if needed, not subject to the ups and downs of the investment markets. So I'd simply open up a money market account or a CD account at a local bank or maybe even a credit union. And not at this point worry so much about your interest earnings, but be more focused on the fact that you have those funds set aside and continue to accumulate those short-term savings for what your needs might be in the coming months and years.
Now, that's an interesting perspective, Jeff, because normally if we have a small amount of money, we feel like we just have to earn some really astronomical figure of interest. But there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about money growing little by little and the importance of that. Talk about that, if you will.
We always want to go, we always recommend going through a sequential investment process, and we do gather money little by little. It's very rare that we end up serving a client who has come into their wealth as a result of investment return, i.e. I bought a stock at a certain level and now it's worth 10 times what I paid for it. People who accumulate wealth over time and savings over time do it little by little, as Proverbs encourages and suggests. As you grow your investments over time, if this turns into $2,000 and $3,000 and $4,000, at some point it'll probably be prudent to make some longer-term investments. But what you first want to do is make sure you have a rainy day fund, or what we would call a contingency fund, money set aside so that if you have a need, you can meet that need. Then you want to begin saving for major future purchases, such as a car, whether if you don't have a need for a car now, you will at some point in the future. And everyone should have a car payment to themselves, be making a car payment, but to themselves. If somebody's going to have to buy a car at some point in the future, which we all will, the question isn't how much the car is going to cost, it's whether or not we're going to pay the interest to a lending institution or have earned it ourselves. So that's really that second stage of investment, the shorter-term goals that we have set forth, cars, buying a house, some improvements, things like that.
So a rainy day fund for emergencies, then the short-term investments for cars and those kinds of things.
Right, and those would be the same type of investments that you'd find at a bank or credit union, just the shorter-term savings accounts. And once you've taken care of those things or started that process, maybe you're doing more than one of these things at a time, then you're going to be positioning yourself for longer-term investment. And if your employer offers some type of matching in a retirement plan, once you find your job, that's something you may take advantage of simultaneously with working on these other things as well. Be careful not to get the cart before the horse.
Yeah, and one of the things that as you do find that job, and we are going to pray with you about that here in just a minute, I found it's very helpful if you have an automatic savings plan at work where you're actually having money deducted from your payroll system and put directly into a savings plan. That can be a tremendous asset because we have a tendency, if it gets into our checking account, guess what happens?
You spend it.
Yeah, it's real easy. We do. So that would be a prudent thing, I think, as well. Why don't we pray for you, if we could, right now? Let's just ask God to give you that job, okay? Lord, thank you that Sharda has called us tonight and for her interest in good stewardship. And, Lord, we recognize the importance of that good stewardship, whether we have a lot or a little. And, Lord, right now she has just a little, particularly because she doesn't have a job. And, Lord, we're asking you to provide that job. You've said and promised that you'll supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we believe that you have a job that's suited to her abilities, her talents, her skill sets, her education, her training. And I just pray that you would open up a job there in Rolla, Missouri, or in the area, or wherever you would have her to be, that would be exactly what she needs, and that she would be able to give you the praise and the glory as a result of it. And I pray this, Lord, for your glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you so much for your call. We look forward to hearing back from you that God has answered prayer and you have that job. So let us hear from you, okay?
Thank you so much.
I want to come back to something we touched on earlier, and that is the three categories that your questionnaire identifies in terms of investors: the do-it-yourselfer, the collaborator, the delegator, the do-it-yourselfer, if you have the time, if you have the aptitude, the collaborator, the person who, like going to the dentist occasionally, will visit and need some counsel in the financial and investment areas. Talk to us about the delegator.
The delegator is the person who realizes and understands they don't have the time, desire, or aptitude to make some of the financial decisions they might need to make, to manage their investments in a certain way, and they really need to seek counsel. It may be, for some, it's just a book at which they refer, and it gives them guidance or resource or an internet resource, but for many, it'll probably be a financial advisor of some sort that guides them. The alternative to that is what we often see, and that's putting their head in the sand and just neglecting the decisions that need to be made or making the appropriate choices when it comes to both managing their money and the larger picture financial decisions as well.
So being a delegator can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing depending on the person.
Yeah, you just have to be honest with yourself. Am I really a do-it-yourself or am I really a collaborator, really a delegator? Once you understand how you're wired, then find the resources that you need to put around you to help you to be successful in that way. And the thing that we see far too often, it's the mistake, is, and it's usually with the, well, it's really with all of them, is just putting the head in the sand and neglecting to make any decisions.
We'll be back with more after a brief word from our sponsors. And don't forget to listen for Dawn's live weekend talk show, Encouragement Live, heard Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio and other radio stations around the country, as well as on the worshipchannel.org. For many years, Tony Cooper has led the Jimmy Hale Mission, an important ministry to the homeless in Birmingham, Alabama. He and host Dawn Hawkins talk about ministering to the homeless today.
Tony, I was about to find out from you how you became involved in the ministry of the Jimmy Hale Mission and specifically just the ministry of rescue missions.
Well, Don, I was introduced to Gospel Rescue Missions as an early teenager, and in Pensacola, Florida, my mom and my dad were divorced when I was 8 years old due to my dad's addiction to alcohol, and you know, I think certainly God used that to kind of prepare me and, you know, in my interest, to help others that may be struggling, you know, with addiction. And as you know, a lot of the people that wind up homeless, substance abuse and addiction are one of the contributing factors, to that. Then my mom remarried and, we were living in Pensacola and going to a Christian Missionary Alliance Church and, I was raised, and my wife and I both were raised in CNMA Church, and once a month they would go down to the local rescue mission, which in Pensacola was a waterfront rescue mission, and they would let us teenagers, you know, kind of participate in the chapel service, whether it would be, you know, a singing or you know, or just kind of in a supportive role or doing little skits and things like that. And And so that was my introduction to Gospel Rescue Missions, and then even worked as I got a little older, even worked part time for the Waterfront Rescue Mission right before 69 when I was drafted into the Army, and then went into the service. Coming out of the service, wound up at Toccoa Falls Bible College up in Toccoa, Georgia, and following my senior year, the summer of my senior year, Dr. Ed Gray, who was a friend of the family, but also associate pastor of Inslee Alliance Church, but also executive director of Waterfront Rescue Mission in Pensacola, called me and said, Tony, when you come home, when you and your family come home this summer, have something I want to show you, I want to talk to you about. And they had a brand new facility, a part of Waterfront, was called New Hope Home.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lord led me to be director. And New Hope Home was a Bible-based substance abuse recovery program, which was an arm of Waterfront Mission. And mm-hmm. and so this was in 77.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting old, Don, as you understand.
As I am.
And yeah. Worked for 10 years at Waterfront Mission there. And then, interesting, the Lord let me pastor a little Southern Baptist church right out of Pensacola in Gulf Breeze called Midway Baptist Church. And, mm-hmm. Graduating from Dakota, I always wanted my major was pastoral ministry. And,
right.
And that's what I thought I would be doing, really, was pastoring a church. And so that was always in the back of my mind. I wonder, if what it'd be like. And so the Lord let me do that, and it was a wonderful experience. My family and I really enjoyed our short time there. God blessed, and for a smaller church, the last year we were there, I think we baptized like 36 people, and just a wonderful time there. But from that, I learned two things. One, I learned the value of how to appreciate those in a pastoral role and those that work in church, because gospel rescue missions are an arm of the local church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it gave me that insight, But also, it made me aware that really wasn't the ministry, that God had for me. And
He had something else for you in a different geographic location.
Yes, sir, he did. When I was with Waterfront, we were in the same district, the Southern District of the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, and I was visited Birmingham and visited Jimmy Hill Mission when they would host district meetings and conferences and things like that. So I was aware of the Jimmy Hill Mission, and when I found out about the opening here, Sister Jessie Hale Downs, who was a widow of Jimmy Hale, and they were co-founders of the mission.
Right.
Then she and Brother Leo Shapur, which you were talking about, Southeastern Bible College, as you very well know.
Southeastern graduate, yes.
He and Miss Jessie, he was co-director of Jimmy Hale Mission for 36 years. She, of course, was a part of it from day one, been there 46 years.
Yeah.
And Don, as you know, I mean, just what a precious, wonderful saint of God that
yes.
Miss Jessie is.
Been greatly used to the Lord. And, of course, so you had become aware of the Jimmy Hale Mission, and the opening came available, and you were God's man for the job, right?
Yes, sir. God led us here in 1990, and so we've been here, Don, a little over 19 years. And just like in Southeastern and in other ministries out there around the country and even beyond that, when God is in it and you're faithful to Him and you look to Him and allow Him to use you in a small way, because it's all about Him, Don.
It sure
and,
is. Yeah.
It's been exciting to sit back and kind of see God work, and we came in 1990 and.
The mission has expanded and changed, and God's opened some great doors under your watch.
Yes, sir. We've grown from one facility now to six different facilities. Southeastern Bible College made a move to a new campus not too long ago, and,
mm-hmm.
and God has blessed us with a new campus for our men's center, which we named the Shapur Men's Center,
right.
In honor of Brother Leo.
Tony, how has the economic downturn amplified the need for the ministries of the Jimmy Hale Mission and other ministries like it?
Donnie, we mentioned earlier the fact that we're a member of the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, and I know there's about 275 missions, around the states and some in Canada and have a few in some other countries. And so we're very proud to be a part. If they want to know more about missions, or those listening in to your several hundred stations, if they would go to agrm.org, AGRM, that's Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, agrm.org, they could find out the local mission that's maybe close to them or in their city, if they wanted to get personally involved you know, more on a local level, wherever they are listening in, you know.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
But about the economy, yes, I mean, my goodness, as you know, a lot of charities, nonprofits, ministries, it's been a very demanding and challenging year. And for some, you know, it's just some of our ministries have really, churches as well, you know, have really you know, seen a decrease in financial contributions coming in, and have really had just to you know, pray hard and work hard and kind of look to the Lord for how to help kind of bring them through this this very difficult time. And but, you know, but God knows.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Encouragement for You with Don Hawkins, host of Encouragement Live Radio and author of over 25 books, including Never Give Up and Master Discipleship Today. You can find more about Don and his books at encouragementlive.org. Encouragement for You is a production of Encouragement Communications with the Salem Web Network and lifeaudio.com. Editing by Phil Giebers, production by Elizabeth Andrade. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us.
Let me take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on Encouragement for You. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Stay encouraged and join us next time for Encouragement for You.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.